If you have your Bible, open with me to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter number 14. And I'm going to tell on myself tonight. I'm preaching a sermon that I've already preached here at Grace. It's been a long time ago. We preached it up in the upper room when I first come here. And the message has changed quite a bit since then. And then there's several people here that is not present during that time. But I just felt impressed of the Lord to preach this message tonight. And I want to be obedient to God. Whenever I go back to my room tonight, I want to be able to lay down and in my prayers be able to tell Him that I did what He asked me to do. Amen. Every day of my life. So Mark chapter 14, verse number 53. Would you stand with me, please, while I read from the Scriptures tonight? Mark chapter 14, verse number 53. The Bible said, "And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with Him were assembled all the chief priests and elders and the scribes. Peter followed Him afar off, even unto the palace of the high priest. And He sat with the servants and warmed Himself at the fire. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witnesses against Jesus to put Him to death, and found none. For many bare false witness against Him, but their witnesses agreed not together. And there rose certain and bare false witness against Him, saying, We heard Him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But neither so did their witnesses agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But He held His peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked Him and said, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes and saith, What need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy, what think ye? And they all condemned Him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on Him, and to cover His face, and to buffet Him, and to say unto Him, Prophesy. And the servants did strike Him with the palms of their hands. Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before You this evening, we thank You again, Lord, for the public reading of our Bible. We thank You, Lord, for the gathering of the saints of God. Already, Lord, we could go home right now feeling down in our souls like we've had church, because Your people have been obedient unto You. But now it becomes my responsibility, Lord, to preach the gospel. And I come, Lord, confessing before You and this dear people that I have not what it takes, but this hour demands. All I know to do is yield myself to You, Lord, that You would take me and let me be a vessel for Your honor tonight. I pray, Lord, that You would speak to everyone under the sound of my voice. I pray that, Lord, if there's one in our midst that could not give their testimony because they've never been saved, that tonight, Lord, they'll be gloriously saved. I pray if there's one that's lost the joy of their salvation, tonight, Lord, they'll regain that fire. May You kindle it down in the rafters of their soul. And Lord, we're asking You this week in camp meeting to send revival. We ask these things in Jesus' blessed name. Amen and amen. Thinking you might be seated. these scriptures that I've read to you tonight is a mockery of any judicial system that has ever stood upon the face of this earth. As a matter of fact, they accuse Jesus of blasphemy. But to be quite honest with you, they violate more laws in this trial than they ever accuse Jesus of violating. And so the Bible said that they call for false witnesses to stand against Him. The disciples could not witness, for the Bible tells us that they had all fled away and gone in scarcity, and were afraid that they themselves would be put on trial and be put to death. Only Peter is following the Lord. We read in another one of the writings of the gospel that Peter had three times denied that he knew the Lord. And then the Bible said that he cursed with an oath and said, "I know Him not." So there was many mistakes made as the trial of Jesus was held upon this day. The high priest asked Jesus if He had anything to say. But the Bible's very careful to say, but He held His peace. Do you see tonight, if Jesus had have spoken up and He would have proved His innocence, He would have had to prove our guiltiness. So He held His peace so that you and I could still go free. I appreciate and love Him, will love Him for the rest of my days for being willing to sit through this trial and be tried for blasphemy the way He was. The Bible tells us that there were many that knew Him, but they were not called that day to witness. They were not given the opportunity to come and tell what they knew about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know the setting of this trial. There's the high priest, which serves as the judge of the trial. And he's standing there, and he's taking authority, trying to find false witnesses. The Bible said that there were some that said, "We heard Him say that you destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I'll build another made without hands." But you and I know now He was talking about His body. He was talking about resurrecting from the dead. And so there were many mistakes made this day. And so tonight, I don't believe we'll have any preaching tonight. We'll set preaching aside. And if you would allow me for just a few minutes, I want to have a trial. And I want to preach a sermon entitled, "The Trial Jesus Should Have Had." And there were some witnesses there that day that should have been called. They should have been given the right and the respect of taking the stand. So we want to use this pew tonight as our witness seat. This is where the witnesses will see it. This is where they will tell what they know about this trial. And you know how it begins as the high priest takes charge of the trial. He always has this little bailiff that runs around and does his lead work, makes sure all the witnesses are lined up. So I can see this high priest looking down to his bailiff and saying, "Are there any witnesses to be called tonight?" And that little bailiff said, "Yes, they've got some lined up." And he said, "Well, let's get this thing started, for we want to hear what they have to say." Who is the first witness that we're going to call? And first of all, that little bailiff said, "Well, Judge, you may not like it very much, but we've got the mother of Jesus that wants to testify on His behalf tonight." And so I can see as Mary walks in that room that day, she comes to the witness stand and takes her seat. And Mary begins to tell what she knew about the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe with all my heart, if Mary had been given opportunity, she would have taken the stand. She would have given her testimony just like you have just stood and rendered your testimony unto the Lord. And Mary would have said, well, Judge, it's like this. I conceived in my womb without the help of a man. I knew not a man. I was a virgin. And the Holy Ghost came upon me and said, thou shalt be with child of the Holy Ghost. And I said, how can that be, seeing that I know I'm not a man? And he said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. And she said, she would sit there and render her testimony and say, and I conceived him in my womb, and I married Joseph, but in 9 months, I never knew Joseph. I was pure and clean. And I gave birth to him. And we had a good time. I can see that judge as he looked over and said, this is not what I'm looking for. And I don't want to hear any more about this from you. So he excuses Mary as she steps down from the throne. And then he said, have you got another witness ready to take the stand? That little bailiff said, yes, I have another witness. Well, he said, well, bring the witness in. But he said, but Judge, listen, you're not going to believe who this witness is. He said, well, it can't be any worse than the one we just had. So let's see who this one is. And he said, well, Judge, you remember that man that they call Legion? He said, yes, I know him very well. Said he's possessed with devils and lives in a cave, and I'll not have him in my courtroom. I'll not interrupt this trial with his outburst, the way that he conducts his life. That little bailiff looked up and said, but Judge, that's him coming down the aisle now. And there he come down the aisle, and the Bible said he was clothed and in his right mind. And he came up and sat down on the stand. He said, hello, Judge. I've got something to tell you about this Jesus. He said, well, Legion, what do you know? And he said, well, to start with, my name has been changed. My name no longer is Legion, but now it's ex-Legion. For I've been changed. He said, well, what happened to you, Legion? He said, well, Judge, it was just like you said. I lived in that cave and I cut myself with stones, scratching with potsherds. And the leprosy and the possession was more than I could bear. But he said, one day I looked out of the mouth of that cave and I saw a man coming toward me. He said, those demons on the inside of me began to cry out to that man. They began to scream his name and said, we know who you are, that you're come to torment us before our time. And I knew, Judge, I knew that if I could just get to him, things would change in my life. So I broke the fetters and I broke the chains and I ran out to where he was. And I fell at his feet. And Judge, I just want to tell you in this court today, that man that I seen at the cave that day was this same man you have on trial right here. His name is Jesus. I believe with all my heart, O ex-Legion would get on the stand, don't you? I believe he'd tell what he knows about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe if he was given the opportunity, he would render his testimony. I can see that judge as he said, now wait a minute, this is not going like I expected it would. You're excused from this courtroom. He stood very graciously and bowed and said, thank you, sir. I will gladly depart from this hearing. And walks out knowing that he's done what God wanted him to do. That judge began to wipe the sweat from his face. He looked back down at that little bailiff and he said, Is there any more witnesses to be called? And he said, yes, there is. I have someone out here that wants to testify on behalf of this man called Jesus. And the high priest said, well, it can't get any worse than it already is. And that little bailiff said, oh yes it can. He said, are you sure? And he said, well, this next one is quite unusual, Judge. He said, well, who in the world do you have out there? And he said, well, his name is Lazarus. And that judge said, now wait just a minute. I attended his funeral. I was there when they rolled the stone over the mouth of that grave. Don't tell me that Lazarus is coming in this courtroom. And there he comes down the aisle as he walks again very graciously to the stand. Lazarus takes his seat. And the judge looks over and said, Lazarus, is that you? And old Lazarus would say, it sure is, Judge. It's me. He said, how do you know something about Jesus? Lazarus would say, well, Judge, it's just like you say. A sickness fell on my body. And I got so sick to the point of death that finally death came. He said, I don't remember a whole lot, but I remember when I died, I went to this place. You ought to see it, Judge. There's mansions there. There's streets of gold. There's angels there. The throne of God is there. You ought to see it. It's a wonderful place. And all of a sudden, I was enjoying this place. And then from a distance, I heard a voice scream out and say, Lazarus, come forth. And he said, the next thing I know, I was back on this earth. And they're unrolling my grave clothes from me. He said, Judge, when they pulled that veil from off my face, the one that I saw was this man you've got on trial right now. It was Jesus, Your Honor. He rose me from the dead. And I'm here today to testify that He is not guilty of blasphemy. I believe with all my heart that if Lazarus was given the opportunity, he would stand and testify, don't you? If he was given that privilege. Then I remember, or next one, that Your Honor looked down at that bailiff and said, get him out of here. I don't want to hear any more from Lazarus. And he said, well, you got anybody else? And he said, yes, Your Honor, I have someone else. And he said, well, it can't get any worse, can it? He said, yes, it can, sir. He said, this one may tell on you. He said, how in the world is somebody going to tell on me? He said, well, you know that old harlot from Samaria that goes down to Jacob's well about every day and hangs out with all those men? He said, well, hush, man, my wife's in here. I don't want her in my courtroom. And he said, but Judge, that's her coming down the aisle now. I can just see as she comes down the aisle, dressed very modestly, and she's walking very properly as a lady would. She takes her seat up on the stand and crosses her hands and folds her legs. And the judge looks over at her and said, is that you? She said, yes, sir, it's me. I'm that woman you're talking about, Your Honor. And he would say to her, well, what do you know about Jesus? And she would say, well, it's like this, sir. I came down to Jacob's well to draw water. And there was a man sitting on that well that day. And he asked me to give him a drink of water. She said I was quite surprised by that because he was a Jew. And I was a Samaritan, for the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. So I asked him, how is it that you ask of me? And you know what he said to me, Judge? He said that if I knew who he was, I would ask of him and he'd give me some living water and I'd never thirst again. So I asked him to give me that living water. And he began to tell me about salvation. He began to tell me about that living water. And she said, he told me to go call my husband. And I told him that I didn't have a husband. Then he said, you've answered correctly, for thou hast had five husbands. And the man you're with now is not even your husband. And she said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And he said, I am. And so that day I got saved at Jacob's Well, Your Honor. And when I wanted to get up here today on this stand, and I wanted to tell every one of you that the man that was sitting on that well that day is the man you got on trial here named Jesus. I believe with all my heart the woman at the well would have gladly taken the stand, don't you? I can just see that high priest saying, you're excused. You're excused. We don't want to hear anything else you've got to say. He looked down at that bailiff and said, is that all? He said, no, it ain't, Your Honor. We got two more. He said, well, we might as well hear them. It can't get any worse than it already has. He said, yes, sir, it can too. It can get worse. He said, well, who in the world would come in here that would be worse than what we've already heard from? He said, well, you know that rich man that financed your campaign, Your Honor? He said, yes, but we won't talk about that because a lot of that was done illegally. He said, well, he's the one that wants to come in here. He said, well, I heard that he died. He said he did. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torment. He wants to tell us about it. I believe if they had brought that rich man back from hell, he would have got up there on that stand. He would have said to that man, I stood in the pits of hell and the fires of hell consumed my body. The flames were so hot I couldn't even breathe. And the hair upon my head was singed completely away. And people were weeping and wailing and crying out in that awful place. And I wanted to come back to tell you that they talk about somebody down there. They talk about a Savior down there that stood between heaven and hell and preached that the sacrifice had been made. And I wanted to say that the man they're talking about in hell is the man you got on trial right here. I believe that rich man would gladly take the stand if he was given the opportunity. And so that high priest looked down at that bailiff and said, get him out of here. We've had one raised from the dead. We've had one come from the dead. We've had a harlot that cleaned herself up and living right now. I just can't imagine who else you have ready to come in this courtroom. He said, well, Judge, I've got one more. There's one more witness out there that I want to bring into this trial. And this one witness claims that they know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is who He says He is. They claim that they are the true witness. They are the one that without any doubt will persuade this jury that Jesus is innocent of blasphemy. And that judge would look down at that little bailiff and said, well, who in the world do you have? Who could you call in here that would convince the jury more than these we've already had? And that little bailiff said, I'll go get them. And tonight I want you to think with me through the Scriptures. I want you to think about all those that interacted with Christ. Who would be that one that we would call? Who would be that one that would testify today and convince this jury that Jesus is the Savior of the world? Who could we call? Maybe you have someone in mind. Maybe I have someone in mind. But I tell you what I'd like to do tonight. If you would, I'd like for you to come and sit on this stand. I'd like for you to be that final witness. For you see, all these that could have been called would have convinced the generation that they lived in that Jesus was the Savior. But today there's a need for somebody to stand up and testify about who Jesus is and what He has to offer this dying world. And so I'll let you take the stand. I see you as you come walking down the aisle, a little embarrassed because some of your friends are there that you hang out with, and they don't know that you're one of them church people. And you're coming up through there, and all of a sudden you look over, and there's some of the people you work with, and they heard you tell a dirty joke the other day. And so they don't have a lot of confidence in. And I can see as the average Christian of 2014 comes forward and sits down on the stand, and the judge looks at him and said, "What do you know about this man called Jesus?" "Well, Your Honor, I guess I know him." And all kind of renders would be made of their excuses of why they're not bold enough to take a stand. But you know what we need tonight? We need some of 2014 that'll stand up. We need some that'll walk down the aisle and take their place and be glad to stand on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know tonight as we sit in this room, this week as we have camp meeting, there are people that are dying and going to hell. And they're slipping out without Christ. And somebody has got to tell them that Jesus is the answer to their need. Jesus is the Savior of the world. And you're the only one. Maybe there's somebody that'll have confidence in you that they wouldn't have in me, or they wouldn't have confidence in Brother Lawrence. Maybe they're scared of preachers, but they would listen to you. You should be willing to walk up to them and take your stand and say, "Jesus saved my soul, wrote my name down in heaven, and I'm saved by the grace of God." Everyone you work with should know that you're saved. Everyone in your community ought to see your car pull out of that driveway on Sunday morning headed to the house of God. There should not be wavering. There should not be inconsistency. But we ought to be able to take that stand today. And as the TV cameras would be on us in this generation, and that trial lawyer is coming up to try to tear down our testimony, we ought to be able to stand up and give a clear-cut testimony of the day the Lord saved us and the day the Lord wrote our name down in heaven. But today people are not taking that stand. We look around in this church tonight, and it's good that each one of us are here. Thank God that we're in the house of God. But there's empty pews too. No one's on this front one. I believe that there's people in Madisonville that are dying and going to hell that could sit on that pew and hear Brother Lawrence preach every Sunday. But we pay him. We think he's supposed to be the one to make the church grow. But sheep bear sheep. And sheep ought to be willing to get on that stand and take it and tell what they know about the Lord Jesus Christ. This church age today is, not only do we need revival, but we need people in our churches today. Mega churches are growing right and left because of false prophets that are taking the stand. And men that are up there. Joel Osteen was asked on the Today Show, "Why do you not preach against sin?" And Joel Osteen said, "That's not my calling. I'm a motivator." I'm one that is supposed to motivate people to bring out the good in them. But I listened too as you gave your testimonies a while ago. You rendered them and expressed what the Lord means to you. And the majority of you said, they preached on hell and I got under conviction and I was afraid to die and go to hell. There's one reason I got saved and one reason only. I didn't want to go to hell. If Buddha could have kept me out of hell, I'd been a Buddhist. If Muhammad could keep me out of hell, if Allah could keep me out of hell, I'd be a Muslim. I'd do it in a heartbeat. But you know, there's a reason why that Baal never answered the prayer on Mount Carmel when the prophets of Baal cried out. And they erected the altar and they set the sacrifice on top and they begin to cut themselves and to cry out. But Baal never answered by fire. You know why? There is no Baal. There is no Allah. There is no religion of Buddhists. There is no Islam tonight. The only true and living God lives in our hearts tonight. We're His children. We're members of His family. We're citizens of His world. Right now, my name is already waiting on me there. All I've got to do is pass from this life into that one and claim my citizenship. And we hold our peace every day of our life. Let me put it to the test tonight. I want you to go back in your mind. And I want you to think, how long has it been since you told somebody about Jesus? Has it been a week? Has it been a month? Has it been a year? Have you ever just sit down with someone and told them that Jesus loves them? I remember one night we were out sowing. I knocked on the door. The man called Mr. Moses came to the door. And I told him we were from Sulphur Springs Baptist Church. And we wanted to come in and spend a few minutes with him if we could. And he invited us in. I began to express the gospel to him and tell him that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. That all of our sins could be forgiven. Mr. Moses looked back at me and he said, but I have never done anything wrong. He said, I've never stole. I've never done my fellow man wrong. He said, I've lived my life peaceful in this community. What do I have to repent of? And I got on my knees with tears running down my face. And I said, Mr. Moses, please don't go to hell. And when I walked out of that room, he refused the gospel. Did not see a need for a Savior in his life. And I begged him and I pleaded with him. I got down on my knees and tears ran down on his carpet. As I said, Mr. Moses, we're all born in sin. Every one of us are conceived in iniquity. And we're all on our way to the devil's hell. Well, you said, but he didn't get saved. No, but I done my job. As far as I know, a good man died and went to hell. I don't know at any time that Mr. Moses ever got saved. But I made sure that he knew Jesus loved him. Go back in your mind and ask yourself, how long has it been since I stood up and testified on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we're out knocking doors one night, and I was looking for a man that I work with. I had witnessed to him on the job, but I stayed busy on the job and never had time just to sit down with him, and I wanted that time. So I was in his community looking for his house. And I couldn't find it. So I came to this little house trailer, and a man was working on his car out in his front yard. And I went up to him and called this man's name, and I said, "Do you know where he lives?" He said, "Yeah, it's three houses down." I turned and started to walk away, and the Holy Ghost said, "Where are you going?" I said, "To see him." He said, "But what about this man?" And I froze in my tracks and turned around. I said, "Sir, could I ask you a question?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Have you ever been saved?" He said, "No, I haven't, but I've been thinking about it here lately." I had my Bible in my hand. I said, "Can I show you some verses in the Bible?" He said, "Yeah, that'll be all right." I opened up my Bible, and I remember showing him the Romans road to heaven. I showed him where that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I gave him that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, "Sir, would you like to bow your head right now and receive Christ as your Savior?" He laid his tools down. He said, "I sure would." We knelt down hand in hand, and I led that man to Jesus. What a great honor. What a privilege to snatch a man out of the pits of hell. He said, when he rose from off the ground, he said, "My wife is not saved." He said, "She's down there. She just gave birth to our firstborn." He said, "I'd invite you in, but she's feeding the baby right now." But said, "I'm going to go tell her what you told me, and I'm going to see her saved too." I don't know how that turned out, but I know one thing. I got on the witness stand of his trial. Do you know every day sinners are having this trial? Sinners are having this court. They're trying to decide, do I need Jesus? Do I want the world? They're torn between the two. They're back and forth on their decisions. And then all of a sudden, here you come with a testimony of how good God's been to you and what the Lord's done in your life. And you become the overwhelming witness to the court of their soul, convincing them that Jesus is who they need. How long has it been since you told somebody about Jesus? Let's stand and bow for prayer.